Reddit calls itself the front page of the internet, but scroll deep enough and you'll find horrible communities that feel more like the dark web. Today, we'll look at some of the worst groups Reddit has ever seen. So my goal this year is to give you guys double the amount of videos without sacrificing quality. To do that, we got to keep growing. So 68% of you guys aren't subscribed, and it would mean the world to me if you didn't, and I promise to give you more fire content. I'm Visual Venture. You are awesome. r/shoplifting. Most people feel guilty when they steal, but this subreddit turns stealing into something to be proud of. The subreddit was called Shoplifting. It was like a boot camp for thieves. There were posts showing what to wear so security wouldn't notice you stealing. Another post explained how to remove security tags. And one listed the stores that were easiest to shoplift from. They weren't just teaching you how to steal, they were encouraging it. But soon, things started getting messy. Since anyone could join, a few people showed up just to post warnings. They tried to talk sense into the group, explaining how shoplifting was wrong. But the others didn't want to hear it. They wanted to feel good about breaking the law. So the subreddit cracked down hard. They made strict rules. The first rule was called moralizing. Here's how they explained it. Stealing is bad. We get it. Nothing else needs to be said about it, and we are all right with the morality of our actions. They even called themselves a wonderful community of allegedly corrupt and soulless individuals. This meant no preaching, no guilt tripping, no criticizing shoplifters. If you broke that rule, your post got deleted and you got banned. No second chances. But moralizing was just one rule out of six. Another rule was about pictures. Members posted pictures of the stuff they stole. Groceries, makeup, electronics, anything they could get their hands on. But the moderators wanted the pictures to be educational. So they made a rule called lack of information. It said all posts must now include a short description on how the items were lifted. Violation is removal of post. Then there was rule six. It was about violence. Advocating violence is unacceptable. We might have criminal intent, but there is no desire to physically harm another person. The subreddit was like a support group for thieves, and members were genuinely happy. One even wrote, "This feels like a best friend group chat. I love you all so much." As messed up as that sounds, the community kept growing. At its peak, it had over 77,000 members. But soon, people outside the group started hearing about it. Major vlogs and news sites picked up the story. Obviously, the general public wasn't okay with a community teaching 77,000 people how to shoplift. Reddit had to step in. In 2018, Reddit updated its content policy. They added a new rule that banned users from promoting stolen goods. The shoplifting subreddit clearly broke that rule. So in March 2018, Reddit shut it down permanently. The subreddit lasted 9 years before getting banned. And in that time, it probably helped thousands of people get into shoplifting. This next group tried to do something good, but they ended up making a mess. r/findbostonsuspects. For the sake of YouTube, we'll be calling the subreddit Find Boston Suspects, not the other word. In April 2013, a tragedy hit America hard. It happened during the Boston Marathon. Thousands were running through the streets. Suddenly, explosions went off near the finish line. Dozens were injured and some didn't make it. The FBI launched an investigation to find out who was responsible.
Make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this.
But while the feds worked the case, some people on Reddit thought they could solve it faster than the cops. So they created a subreddit called Find Boston Suspects. But instead of helping, they became the internet's worst detectives. The group started by analyzing photos from the event.
Much of the activity on this page involved Redditors scanning over blurry and grainy images that were taken from the Boston Marathon in an attempt to find a suspect.
They zoomed in on backpacks. They circled random faces. They looked for anything suspicious. Then they started pointing fingers with very little proof. Their first suspect was a 17-year-old runner named Salah. Members of the subreddit were convinced that Salah and his coach looked suspicious. The coach had a backpack, which they thought contained the devices. So the group spread their photos online, accusing them of being the suspects. Even the New York Post put Salah and his coach on the front page. But there was a big problem. Salah was completely innocent. He was so scared for his safety that he went straight to the police to clear his name. Luckily, he was able to prove that he had nothing to do with the incident. But the Find Boston Suspects community wasn't done causing trouble. On April 18th, 2013, the FBI released photos of the real suspects. But there was another problem. The photos were blurry, so the faces were hard to make out. And once again, the subreddit didn't wait. They rushed to blame someone else. The subreddit compared the blurry FBI photos to random people on social media. That's when someone brought up a man named Sunil. Sunil was a 22-year-old student who went missing a month before the incident. And just like that, the group decided he must be one of the suspects. They posted his name, they shared his photos, and they spread the accusation across the internet. To them, Sunil wasn't missing, he was hiding.
Police believe this new image from a surveillance camera shows the 22-year-old just moments after leaving his campus apartment.
Sunil's family created a Facebook page to find him. But after the rumor spread, that page was flooded with hate. They accused the family of hiding a terrorist. The harassment was so bad that the family deleted the Facebook page. Somehow, that only made things worse. Now, people were sure they were hiding something. Even journalists started repeating the rumor. One phrase started trending, "We did it, Reddit." It was what people said when Reddit cracked a big case. But they were completely wrong. On April 19th, the truth came out. The FBI found the real suspects and arrested them. Sunil was innocent. The Find Boston Suspect subreddit destroyed his reputation for nothing. After the truth came out, Sunil's family was furious. Reddit later apologized to Sunil's family. Then they banned the Find Boston Suspect subreddit. But it was too late. Because of a wild internet humor, his family was humiliated.
We, you know, knew unconvincingly that this was not Sunil, and it was just very difficult to have the events of that night unfold so aggressively.
Sadly, the story didn't end there. Even though everyone now knew Sunil had nothing to do with the incident, he was still missing. Just days later, police found Sunil lifeless near his school. That meant he wasn't even alive when the incident happened. The Find Boston Suspect subreddit didn't conduct an investigation. They led a witch hunt. It was horrible that two innocent people were tracked down as if they were suspects. But surprisingly, this stuff happens every day. And it could easily happen to us because data brokers sell our personal information online. You could go to any data broker website right now and buy anyone's data, which to me is honestly insane. And if they buy yours, they have access to your personal information. So this actually happened to me. Some messed up people found my information online, and long story short, it was a mess. After that, I tried removing my data from every website that sold it, but there were just too many. So that's where today's sponsor, Aura, comes in. They scan data broker websites to find where your information is being sold. And after a few weeks, you'll notice less spam, but most importantly, if someone searches you online, they won't find you. Aura monitors the dark web and tells you if your data was leaked. And if someone tries to open up a bank account in your name, they let you know right away. And in the worst case scenario, they provide up to $5 million in identity theft insurance. Aura even includes a VPN, antivirus, and password manager, which would have all been extremely helpful in my case. Guys, I really hope you consider Aura. If you do, go to aura.com/VV to try 14 days for free. That would be enough time for Aura to find out if your personal data is leaked. r/JB. For the sake of our channel staying safe from the YouTube hammer, we'll be calling this subreddit JB. The JB subreddit was full of creeps. Urban Dictionary defines JB as a girl who is too young, but still seen as attractive. From that definition alone, it's obvious what this community was about. Members of this group posted suggestive photos of young females. A lot of the images were stolen from Instagram, Facebook, and school websites. Some were even taken with hidden cameras. What these men were doing was disgusting, but they weren't hiding it. Not even a little. In fact, JB was famous.
The subreddit was extremely popular on the website. So popular that it even won Subreddit of the Year in 2008 via user poll.
Let that sink in. JB won Subreddit of the Year. That means people actively voted for it. At one point, JB was the second most searched term on Reddit. That brings up the obvious question. How did Reddit allow this community to exist? When Reddit first launched, there were barely any rules. Users could post almost anything as long as it wasn't illegal. That's because Reddit's founders believed in free speech, and they defended that belief even when it came to JB.
Reddit's general manager at the time, Eric Martin, said that while he was disturbed by this group, it's not the place of Reddit to censor the users.
Reddit bosses said having to stomach questionable subreddits like JB are part of the price of free speech on a site like this. Surprisingly, many people agreed. They were scared that if Reddit banned one community, it would start banning more, and that would kill free speech on the site. But then CNN got involved and things got more complicated. In September 2011, a CNN reporter called Reddit out on national TV. He criticized them for hosting a community full of creeps. That report turned millions of people against JB and Reddit. You would think that would get JB banned, but the opposite happened. The CNN spotlight made JB more popular. The very next day, JB got 1.7 million views in a single day. That was the most attention the group ever received. JB seemed untouchable. Then one post brought everything crashing down. In October 2011, someone uploaded a new picture to the group, but the real problem wasn't the photo. It was a comment underneath it. The user claimed they had content of the same girl, and they were willing to share it in private messages. Dozens of members reached out to him asking for the files. The post stayed up long enough for people to screenshot it, and those screenshots spread beyond Reddit. That was the final straw. That was an actual crime. That night, Reddit banned JB. By 8 p.m. Eastern time, anyone who tried accessing the subreddit saw this message. The subreddit has been shut down due to threatening the structural integrity of the greater Reddit community. For some, the ban was long overdue. For others, it felt like the end of free speech. But looking back, it's obvious what JB really was, a community that normalized terrible behavior. This next Reddit community seemed like a joke, but they caused real pain to lots of innocent people. r/HermanCainAward. This group was accused of mocking the dead. It was like they celebrated when someone passed away. Sounds insane, but if you understand how the group started, it begins to make sense. The subreddit was called Herman Cain Award. It was named after US politician Herman Cain. In early 2020, Herman Cain called the COVID pandemic fake news. Herman Cain kept attending crowded events. Weeks later, in July 2020, Herman Cain got sick and passed away soon after. 2 months later, the Herman Cain Award subreddit was created, but it wasn't made to honor how he lived. It was created to mock how he died. The goal of the subreddit was simple. It shared stories of people who denied COVID and then got infected and didn't survive. Each post followed a formula. You'd see a screenshot of someone downplaying the pandemic or refusing the vaccine. Then you'd get an update from the same person announcing they've caught the flu. And the last screenshot revealed the person's fate. If the person survived the illness, the post was labeled nominated. If they changed their mind and got vaccinated, it was labeled redemption. And if they passed away, they were awarded. That meant they received the so-called Herman Cain Award. By 2021, the media heard about the Herman Cain Award, and they called out the subreddit for being heartless. Families who lost someone would come online only to find their loved one turned into Reddit content.
But by maintaining a subreddit like this, you're cheering for it, right? You want the next story to come in. And beyond that, it's just incredibly disrespectful for the mourning families.
The subreddit's defenders said it wasn't about celebrating death. To them, it was about showing the danger of misinformation.
They only award people, right, given the Herman Cain Award, to people who were actively propagating, spreading, and parading extreme misinformation.
Members of the group took things too far. They tracked down grieving family members on Facebook. Then they sent nasty messages mocking the deceased relatives. It was like they were intentionally trying to cause pain. By that point, the subreddit started to seem more like a mob. The harassment got so bad that the subreddit's moderators had to intervene. They issued warnings and banned members who harassed grieving family members. However, many members didn't see anything wrong with the harassment. It became a huge debate within the group. Today, this subreddit is still active and it has about 500,000 members. To some, it's a wake-up call. To most, it's none other than harassment. This next subreddit was so bad it caught the attention of federal agents. r/darknetmarkets.
The FBI has seized control of a controversial website which made buying drugs as easy as going to the store.
In October 2013, the FBI shut down Silk Road. It was a website where people bought illegal stuff like substances, fake IDs, and stolen credit cards. People even ordered hitmen on Silk Road. If you want to know more about this website, check out the whole documentary I created about it. When Silk Road disappeared, it left a vacuum. Thousands of people were searching for the next place to get illegal goods. So someone created a Reddit group to solve that problem. It was called Darknet Markets. Darknet Markets didn't sell anything illegal, but it told you where to find it. The group was where dealers, hackers, and cybercriminals would hang out and talk about what happened on illicit marketplaces. If someone wanted to buy substances online, all they had to do was scroll through the subreddit, and they would find recommendations on the best places to buy from. It even had tutorials on how to spot undercover cops and how to buy illegal stuff without leaving a paper trail. scale, and it wasn't a small group. The subreddit grew to 160,000 members, but with that many people, they weren't exactly flying under the radar. By 2015, federal agents heard about the group, so they started monitoring, waiting for one person to slip up so they could swoop in. In 2015, the feds made a move. They sent Reddit an order demanding personal information for 5 members of the Darknet Markets group. Those users were linked to a new black market called Evolution, and the FBI wanted to arrest them. Reddit wouldn't say if they gave the FBI the information or not. They stayed totally silent. After the request, the community panicked. People stopped posting, activity dropped fast. Then in 2018, 3 years after the FBI's request, Reddit updated its policy. The new policy banned users from promoting illegal goods and services. Darknet Markets was clearly breaking that rule. So in March 2018, Reddit banned them. This next subreddit created a problem for the entire world. r/deepfakes. The subreddit changed the internet forever, but not in a good way. The group was created by a Reddit user who went by the name Deepfakes. And in 2017, he discovered a creepy new way to use AI. He would take the faces of female celebrities and put them onto adult videos. The results were so realistic, people thought the videos were real.
It's very difficult to convince people that that isn't you, because if it looks like you, it might as well be you.
Soon, the Reddit user created a Reddit community to show off his work. He named it after himself, Deepfakes. And once again, for the sake of YouTube, we'll be calling it Fakes. Within 2 months, the subreddit had 15,000 members. The group was filled with AI videos of celebrities. But soon, people didn't just want to watch celebrities. They uploaded photos of real people they knew and asked for AI videos of them.
Some stuff that I saw online was people requesting deepfakes of their sister so that they can use that to blackmail them, requesting deepfakes of family members, of their teachers.
Eventually, that wasn't enough too. The members wanted to learn how to make the fake videos themselves. At this point, Fakes was no longer one guy's username. It became the term for inappropriate videos made using AI.
The term was born in Reddit when members of a group called Deepfake used AI to put celebrities' faces on actors.
But making fakes was hard. You needed a powerful computer and coding skills. But that was about to change. In 2018, a member of the subreddit released a software called FakeApp. FakeApp made creating fakes as easy as clicking a few buttons. Just upload the picture and let the AI do the rest. Now anyone could make a fake. FakeApp spread like wildfire far beyond Reddit. On January 24th, 2018, a blog published an article exposing the subreddit. They pretty much blamed the group for kickstarting the AI video epidemic. The article went viral. People were furious and Reddit couldn't ignore it anymore. 2 weeks later, Reddit banned the fake subreddit. They also uploaded their policy to ban all involuntary inappropriate content. However, it was too late. Even after the ban, fake app continued to spread. And today, fakes blackmail is still a huge problem online. This next subreddit turned tragedy into entertaining content. r/watchpeopledie. Watch People Die, or WPD, was exactly what it sounded like. It was a community where members could watch real videos of people losing their lives. The subreddit started in 2012, and the content was disturbing. Members claimed the group showed the unfiltered reality of death. But why would anyone want to watch that? One member said it wasn't a place where we laugh and make fun of people's deaths. The reason we keep coming back is because it really shows us how precious life is. Another claimed that watching workplace accidents made them more careful on the job. But that didn't change the fact that it operated like a page filled with shock, full of videos of ordinary people losing their lives. At first, Reddit ignored WPD's shocking content. Then, in September 2018, Reddit placed the group under quarantine. That meant WPD's posts were hidden from Reddit's front page. Only the group's members could see the content. Even in quarantine, WPD kept growing. By 2019, it had more than 400,000 members. However, with the kind of content being shared, it was only a matter of time before WPD got in trouble. And that moment came in March 2019. In March 2019, a tragedy in New Zealand led to multiple fatalities. The attacker live-streamed the incident on Facebook, and the footage quickly spread across the internet. Eventually, it reached the WPD subreddit. This was exactly the kind of video WPD existed for, so they posted it. But the footage was too graphic. And out of respect for the victims and their families, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube scrubbed it from their platforms. But WPD didn't. While other sites took it down, WPD kept the video up, and people were furious. Internet users begged WPD to remove it out of respect for the grieving families. But WPD didn't listen. Instead, they locked the thread. Then they posted this message. The video stays up until someone censors us. The video is being scrubbed from major social media platforms, but hopefully Reddit believes in letting you decide for yourself whether or not you want to see unfiltered reality. At that point, it was WPD versus the world. Since WPD wouldn't budge, people put pressure on Reddit. And this time, the pressure worked. A few hours after WPD posted that message, Reddit banned WPD. The ban was for posting content that incites or glorifies violence. The ban was a long time coming, because turning people's final moments into content was just disrespectful. These Reddit communities didn't just exist. They grew because people kept watching. But when you constantly look at the worst parts of the internet, it starts to feel normal. So my friends, protect your sense of what's right and wrong, because once you lose it, it's hard to get it back. Visual Venture. Wait, before you go, make sure you guys check out my other video on the internet's most disturbing fandoms right here. Thank you guys for everything. Peace.